Welcome to Clear Text for Wednesday, June 17th, 2026. I'm Alex Chen.
And I'm Jordan Reeves, so here's how your Wednesday is going. Your primary endpoint security tool has an actively exploited zero day with no patch available. 144 packages in a popular AI development framework just got supply chain compromised through a single hijacked account. And a Chinese espionage group has been silently forwarding your researchers' emails for months using your own compliance rules against you. Happy hump day, everyone.
We've got a packed show today. We're going to dig into that Chinese espionage campaign targeting research institutions, because the tradecraft is genuinely clever and has implications well beyond academia. We'll cover the MSISAC losing 70% of its members and what that means for collective defense. There's a significant AI governance story with real numbers that you can take to your board. We'll hit the Defender Zero Day and that Mastra NPM compromise with actionable guidance. And we'll touch on a $100 million endpoint security startup that thinks EDR is dead. Let's get into it.
Let's start with UNC 6508, which is the designation Google is using for this Chinese espionage group that compromised RedCap environments at North American research institutions. RedCap, for those not in the research world, is the standard electronic data capture platform used across universities, pharma, and clinical research. It's everywhere. What makes this campaign interesting isn't the initial access, it's the exfiltration method. They abused existing compliance email rules, the kind that organizations set up for legitimate regulatory forwarding, and repurposed them to silently forward emails matching strategically relevant keywords.
This is the kind of operation that should make every CISO pause and think about their own mail infrastructure. These aren't smash-and-grab operators. UNC 6508 deployed custom malware, harvested credentials, and then configured forwarding rules designed to blend in with legitimate mail flow. The campaign was architected for long-term intelligence collection. They're reading your researchers' emails about whatever topics Beijing finds strategically interesting, and your security team may never see it because the forwarding looks like business as usual.
The defensive takeaway is concrete. When was the last time your team audited mail transport rules, especially in Exchange Online or Google Workspace? Not just user-level forwarding rules, but the admin-level compliance and journaling rules. Most organizations set those up during deployment and never look at them again. That's exactly the seam this group exploited. If you're in pharma, defense contracting, biotech, or any R&D-heavy enterprise, this is your threat model right now.
And the broader pattern here is Beijing's espionage apparatus continuing to mature, which actually connects to our next story. Chinese authorities arrested 66 members of the Silver Fox cybercrime group. Now, China arresting its own cybercriminals is always worth paying attention to, because it usually signals one of two things. Either the group crossed a line domestically, or Beijing is managing its ecosystem to maintain plausible deniability between state-sponsored operations and criminal ones.
Right. The cynical read, which is probably the correct read, is that this is housekeeping. China wants to be able to point to arrests and say, look, we police our own. Meanwhile, groups like UNC 6508 continue operating with impunity because they serve state interests. But there's a practical angle too. If Silver Fox infrastructure or tooling overlapped with anything in your environment, those IOCs may go stale quickly as remaining members scatter or rebrand.
The other headline buried in the same risky business roundup is arguably more consequential for domestic security leaders. MSISAC has lost approximately 70% of its membership following DHS funding cuts. For listeners who rely on ISAC threat intelligence feeds, this is a direct degradation of your input sources.
This is one of those slow-moving disasters that won't make the front page, but will absolutely show up in your incident timeline 6 months from now. The MSISAC was the connective tissue for state, local, tribal, and territorial government cybersecurity. 70% member loss means the collective defense model for a huge swath of the public sector just collapsed. And if you're in the private sector thinking this doesn't affect you, remember that your supply chain includes municipalities, public utilities, and state agencies that were depending on that shared intelligence.
The message for CISOs is straightforward. If you are getting value from ISAC intelligence sharing, you need to assess whether that channel is still reliable and start thinking about alternative sources or bilateral sharing arrangements now, not after the next incident.
Switching to AI governance, because there are two stories today that, taken together, give you a very clear picture of where the risk is accumulating. First, InfoSecurity Magazine reports that sensitive enterprise data upload attempts to AI models increased 93% year over year. Second, a JAM survey found a direct correlation between AI adoption rates and security incident frequency. More AI, more incidents. Not a surprise to anyone in this audience, but now you have the data.
This is the board conversation I've been telling CISOs to prepare for all year. You now have two independent data points. Employees are uploading sensitive data to AI tools at nearly double the rate of last year, and organizations with higher AI adoption are experiencing more security incidents. That's not a coincidence. That's a causal relationship driven by governance gaps. The answer isn't to slow AI adoption. Your business won't let you. The answer is to get AI data governance into your control framework immediately. DLP policies need to account for AI endpoints. Acceptable use policies need teeth. And your board needs to understand that AI adoption without governance investment is just accelerated risk accumulation.
And this dovetails with the export control story, which is a different dimension of AI governance, but equally important. The Trump administration imposed export restrictions on Anthropic's Claude Fable 5 and Mythos 5 models, citing advanced offensive cyber capabilities. Dozens of security researchers signed an open letter demanding the restrictions be reversed, arguing that these models are critical for defensive security research.
This is a genuinely hard policy problem. These models apparently have capabilities that concern national security officials, and I'm not going to second-guess the intelligence assessment behind the decision. But the security community's concern is legitimate. If your red team or your threat intelligence analysts are using these models for defensive work, and now your overseas offices or partners can't access them, that's an operational impact you need to map. More broadly, this signals an escalating government role in AI capability governance. CISO should be tracking these export controls the same way they track sanctions lists. It affects vendor relationships, licensing, and how you deploy AI tooling across global operations.
Let's pivot to the two vulnerability stories because both require action. CVE-2026-50656 is a local privilege escalation zero-day in Microsoft Defender. It's being actively exploited by a threat actor group called Nightmare Eclipse, using an exploit called Rogue Planet. No patches available. Microsoft says they're working on it. The vulnerability requires local authenticated access and no user interaction, which means any compromised user account or insider threat can escalate to system-level privileges on endpoints running Defender.
The irony of your endpoint security product being the attack vector is not lost on anyone. Practically speaking, you need compensating controls. Increase monitoring on privilege escalation events. If you have application control or allow listing capabilities separate from Defender, lean on those. Review your endpoint hardening baselines and have a conversation with your Microsoft account team about timeline, because working on it isn't a patch date.
The second vulnerability story is a supply chain compromise. 144 NPM packages under the Mastra namespace were hijacked through a single compromised contributor account. Mastra is a popular open source framework for building AI applications in JavaScript and TypeScript. Five independent security firms confirmed the compromise, which tells you the blast radius is significant.
If your engineering teams are building AI-driven workflows on JavaScript or TypeScript stacks, you need to check your dependency trees today. This is the software supply chain fragility problem that the industry has been talking about for years, and it keeps happening because the open source ecosystem still relies on individual contributor accounts as single points of failure. SBOMs, dependency scanning, and contributor account security aren't nice-to-haves. They're baseline requirements.
Quick hit on the startup front. Ent emerged from stealth with a $100 million seed round, which is the largest seed round on record for an endpoint security company. They're positioning intent-aware AI running on-device as a replacement for traditional EDR, arguing that detection and response architectures can't keep up with AI-automated attacks.
$100 million at seed is a market signal, not just a company story. Venture capital is making a big bet that the EDR paradigm is insufficient. Whether Ent specifically delivers is an open question, but if you're in the middle of an endpoint security vendor review, this thesis deserves a seat at the evaluation table.
And finally, Ukraine's formal inclusion in the EU Cybersecurity Reserve, first non-EU member state admitted to the program. This institutionalizes collective cyber defense in a way that has real implications for NATO-aligned enterprises.
It's a meaningful geopolitical signal. The EU is essentially extending its cyber incident response umbrella to a non-member state in an active conflict zone. For enterprises with operations or supply chain dependencies in Eastern Europe, this changes the calculus on geopolitical spillover risk. There's now a formal mechanism for EU cyber response resources to flow into Ukraine during major incidents, which could contain some of the collateral damage we've worried about since 2022.
So zooming out, Alex, the theme I'm seeing today is that the seams are the targets. Email compliance rules, NPM contributor accounts, the gap between AI adoption speed and governance maturity, the collapse of collective defense sharing. Adversaries, whether state-sponsored or criminal, are exploiting the spaces between your controls, not the controls themselves.
Completely agree. And for CISOs, the actionable insight is that your risk isn't in the technologies you've deployed. It's in the assumptions you made when you deployed them. That your mail rules are only used legitimately. That your open source dependencies are maintained by trustworthy individuals. That AI adoption would wait for governance to catch up. Today's stories are a reminder to go back and stress test those assumptions because your adversaries already have.
Well said. That's your Wednesday briefing.
Thanks for listening to Clear Text. Show notes and links to every story we cover today are at cleartext.fm. We'll be back tomorrow. Stay sharp.